Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, we will start by thanking you, our listeners. We're so grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit us on our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. Today I'd like to speak to you about one of the names given to our Savior in prophecy. That name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The scripture is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, and is a familiar scripture at Christmas time. I think I first heard this one probably in the Charlie Brown Christmas special years and years ago. And this is what Isaiah had to say. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God with us, the phrase from another prophecy given to Isaiah, fills this passage of Scripture as well. What are the implications of God coming to be with us in Jesus Christ? This very Scripture speaks in terms of light, joy, freedom, peace, order, justice, and righteousness, all declarations of Scripture about the meaning of Jesus being with us. Well, we'll get into all that in a few moments, but first let's listen to this hymn of hope, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, as presented by Steve Bell on his album, Feast of Seasons.
Strength and consolation, hope of all.
Well, today I want to take a close look at this familiar scripture from Isaiah to talk about what Jesus brings into the world as he comes as our Savior. And the first thing that Isaiah speaks of, as he proclaims the very prophecy of God, he speaks of people walking in darkness, coming to see a great light. On those living in the land of shadow, in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The word light is used so often as an icon of goodness and truth and life. And that's exactly what Isaiah is told to tell the people of Israel, and in fact all people, because this prophecy goes out into all the world. He says that we will see light. Now, light is always a good thing, unless we're trying to sleep. By darkness, we so often mean those things that oppress us, those fears that concern us, the anxiety we feel, the sadness we feel. All of these things seem to be blown away when light comes into the picture. When we're uncertain or confused, we don't know which way to turn, we need a brighter light. When we're having trouble seeing details and understanding things, when we're having trouble reading, a little bit more light on the subject is what we call for. Light is unquestionably an image of goodness and greatness. But in particular, the scripture here describes the opposite of light as the shadow of death. Now, we've seen that expression before, walking through the valley of the shadow of death in the 23rd Psalm. We understand that by darkness, the idea of death, the coming to nothing, the end of all goodness is imaged. The shadow of death is contrasted with the light that Jesus brings. All humanity dwelt under the shadow of death. Some people seem to have a good job of ignoring the reality of death, but we all live under its shadow. At least we did, until Jesus Christ came into our lives, came into our world, and he offered eternal life to all who would turn to him, to all who would turn away from the ways of death, who would turn away from sin and darkness and decay. He has said, "Come to me, and he will be the light for our souls." So we turn from death to life when we turn from darkness to light. Jesus brings light into a darkened world. The second thing that the scripture reads is about enlarging the nation and increasing their joy. Now, who can argue with joy? But first let's look at enlarging the nation. One thing that the prophecy spoke of was probably about the return of exiles and the reestablishment of Israel. But of course, it looks farther ahead to something that the Savior is going to do, and that is to expand the people of God beyond just the chosen people of Israel, but making them, as he had promised Abraham, making the people of Israel a blessing to all nations. The nation has indeed been enlarged as the people of God have expanded to come from every tribe and every tongue and every language. And what a joy to know that there is no one who needs to be excluded from this good news of Jesus Christ, that the nation can include all who, not because of their goodness, not because of their perfection, their purity, but because they have turned to Jesus, discovered the source of life and love, and have allowed him to begin the transformation in their lives. Oh, the joy at having a Lord, Jesus Christ. The images of joy are twofold in the scripture, where Isaiah speaks of people rejoicing at the harvest. Well, that's an easy enough thing for us to rejoice in. We can imagine the joy of having abundant food and abundant wine, having abundant nutrition, the things that we need for life, to be able to know that there are abundant flocks for the Israelite people, to take wool and make clothing, be able to support their families, to be able to enjoy life. There's a great place for feasting in the rituals of the people of Israel, as in the life of the church today, where that joy is considered to be such a gift of God, the joy of harvest. But he also speaks of another kind of joy. He says, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Now that's a bit more difficult today. I think most of us really don't look favorably upon battle. We understand that Jesus has told us to love our enemies, and even though sometimes we feel compelled to stand up against wickedness in the world with force, we certainly don't rejoice at evil or the defeat of another person. Like God, we wish that the wicked would turn from their wickedness and live. We don't take delight in that kind of plunder. However, when we consider the enemy that Jesus has overcome, that he's overcome that which oppresses us, that yoke that burdens us, the bar across our shoulders, we can understand that part of this scripture speaks not only of political and military forces, but also of those forces that have constrained us even when we've lived in political and military freedom. I'm talking about the forces of sin in our lives. Isn't it wonderful to think that our habits and attitudes, the things which have gotten control of us, are going to be defeated, that we will be able to live in freedom and rejoice in the goodness of how God has made us freed from the burdens of sin. I will certainly be rejoicing, and I do rejoice each time that I find myself growing through the power of God in some area of holiness or obedience or courage or peace, any place where the work of God brings me to a new victory over sin. We rejoice. We have joy in having God with us, that Jesus, by his presence, is strengthening us and setting us free. In fact, that freedom is a big theme of this, the freedom from oppression. The ability to obey God in every circumstance is one thing that I just treasure because Jesus Christ is with us. And to not be dominated by circumstances. How often is our attitude or our mood dominated by the things that don't go right in our lives? We don't seem to have self-control at times. We allow ourselves to be made unhappy, to be made angry, to be made dissatisfied just by things outside of our control. Instead, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have a new freedom available to us. God is with us, and he that is in us, Scripture says, is greater than he that is in the world. There is no power on earth that needs to have domination over us, not even Satan himself. The secret to this is that God is in us, that when we have received Christ, he has come and made his home in us, that his righteousness lives in us, that his Spirit lives in us. And as we come to realize that, as we come to see that take effect in our lives, we have hope that every burden, every yoke, every oppression will be lifted. We also have a peace that comes. The scripture speaks of the warrior's boots and the garments worn in battle are destined for burning, that no longer is the equipment for war needed in the presence of God. For Jesus has defeated the enemy. Our battle has been won. And the reason for all this joy, peace, freedom, light, all of this is because a child has been born, because a son has been given, because God has put the rule of the earth on his shoulders. And the peace that comes through his setting things right. God establishes an order in this world, or should I say, reestablishes an order in this world. And for that, we can be truly joyful. Sometimes we are upset by the order of the world around us. Sometimes rules and regulations, sometimes what passes off as righteousness or justice, just bothers us because it's so imperfect. But when the perfect comes, when God's perfect rule of love and truth and righteousness is brought to bear on the world, and when it's brought to bear on our own souls, there's nothing to shrug off, nothing to be upset about, for His way is perfect. Now, I want to share with you a song from Sarah Grove's album, O Holy Night. This song is titled A Cradle in Bethlehem, and just take a few moments to listen to this before we bring our message to a conclusion today. Christ has come into the world. Jesus is with us. Even at His ascension, He promised that He would be with us even to the end of the age. So although bodily He is no longer on the earth, He is with us by His Spirit. He is with us according to His promise. So we can live now in the light, joy, freedom, and peace that comes through His gift of salvation. We can live now even if we've never experienced it before, by turning to Christ and inviting Him to come and dwell within us. To receive Christ is to accept that He is Lord, that He has the right to rule within our lives, and He has the right to transform us, to remove from us the vestiges of sin, and He will do that over time. To receive Christ is also to accept with patience the discipline that He exacts in our life. He continues to work in us, and much as I'd like my life to be changed in the snap of a finger, that doesn't appear to be the way Christ does His transforming. He works with us day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade. He brings us into a community of other Christians who sometimes instruct us, sometimes encourage us, and sometimes give us challenges that we need to face in His strength. But more than that, if Christ is in us, we are now also Christ to the world. And so it's not just a matter of the fullness of Christ filling us and being self-satisfied, but Christ calls us into the world to bring this light, joy, freedom, peace, this righteousness and justice, this love and grace into our communities, into our families, into our workplaces, into every corner of the world. For he has sent us as his witnesses and as his ambassadors. Being Christ to the world is a great opportunity to experience his life and light, to watch his light spread into the world, to see his joy received, and to watch others straighten up and be able to stand again after being under the burden and dominance of sin. So let's turn to God in prayer and ask him to help us be these ambassadors. And if need be, you might want to pray with me also that we would realize God's presence, God with us, even more through our relationship with Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you that you have sent Jesus into the world so that he would be with us in that moment in history, be with us physically. But thank you that by his death and resurrection, you have made him the Savior of all, that you have given everyone the opportunity to draw near to him. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit by which you work within us and in the world around us to establish your kingdom and your presence in each one of us. Lord, help us to recognize that you are with us. Help us to let you live in us and through us. Help us to be open to your command and to your Spirit. Lord, in every way, use us to make this glorious good news known to all the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I want to thank you, listeners, for your encouragement and support. We thank you because you keep us on the air week by week. And as this year draws to a close, I do want to encourage you to support our ministry financially. Did you know that Good News Ministries has only one major cost? Brent Russett, George Sinclair, Juliet Schimpf, and I are volunteers. And so are the people managing our website, organizing our events, and operating our board. Your gift can help us to continue to meet that one vital expense, our cost of broadcasting, which enables this program to reach you and over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. If you can, please make out a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184 Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, here is a song from Carolyn Ahrens. It's called Now in Flesh Appearing. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. Half a world away from home.
she's hugging on those kids, showing them what Christmas is. And though her family misses her, they know.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.